just in time for kickoff. Hooters' famous saucy wings, delicious seafood, half-pound stacked burgers, and fresh chopped salads. Hooters is honored to serve the Tampa Bay community with delicious take-home and a great place to watch the game with friends and family. Providing that famous neighborhood hospitality only Hooters can deliver. Hooters, proud sponsor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for locations near you.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. My thanks to Hooters for their continuing presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take the podcast league out to Hooters in Tampa in a couple of weeks for our supplemental draft. We have a guillotine league going this year in the podcast league. So the first four out, their players will be available first in a supplemental draft that we will do at Hooters in a couple of weeks in what has been a very interesting, good and bad, first year for a 14-team modified guillotine format as we come up on the first four out, which happens after 10 weeks. So shout-outs also to Bill Curry Ford and Brandon Legal Group for their continuing sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Hang on. One of my headsets was not on properly. I want you to listen to me. So the least I can do is listen a little bit to myself. This is episode 41. Hooters ordered 55 episodes this year of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We may exceed that by a little bit. Season 7. My email for your personal fantasy questions is write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com, the only email I use for fantasy questions all this season, different from previous years. Social media, at ToddWright2121 on Instagram and at ToddWright2121 on Twitter. As we look ahead to week 9, you should be now over halfway through your regular season, and obviously in some formats, things have moved further along. As I mentioned with our guillotine league, basically, we're first four out after 10 weeks. So I talked in the last couple of weeks about basically making final decisions as it related to some players where you were still referring to them by their draft value. We were past that, and I wanted to update my big boards based on my 21st century standard scoring settings that there are some obvious names missing that were drafted early, and there are some new names up there, and there are some other trends that are clearly playing out this season that are different from previous years. And I have to adjust because it goes against some of the things that I've used in recent years to win, say, the podcast league last year. So let's just do the boards first, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. Top 10 quarterbacks, and these are in my 21st century, as I say, modernized standard scoring settings. Josh Allen shows the way, QB1 at 176 points, even though he's already had a bye week. Just that good. Lamar Jackson, 2. Joe Burrow, 3. Jalen Hurts, 4. Also has already had his bye week. Patrick Mahomes, 5. Already had his bye week. So the top 5 overall players in point production are quarterbacks. Top 5. Now, I will rank the remaining quarterbacks here, and then we'll compare and contrast with some other positions. QB6 is Kyler Murray. QB7, and we are 8 weeks in, Geno Smith. QB8, Marcus Mariota, who has avoided injury and does as much with his legs as he does with his arm. He's QB8. Daniel Jones off a horrible week against the Seattle Seahawks. Hits his bye week at QB9. And Justin Fields, again, the legs playing a big role here. Justin Fields, QB 10 in my scoring settings. Some obvious big-name quarterbacks not in the top 10 through 8 weeks. Brady, Rodgers, Herbert, Stafford. There's just four names. And look at those bottom five. And just what the, I mean, maybe, I'm going to guess Geno Smith's rushing is less than the other four. So I'll just say, with Murray at 6, Mariota at 8, Daniel Jones at 9, and Justin Fields at 10, their top 10 quarterbacks, as much for what they're doing with their legs, or more so for what they're doing with their legs than their arms. But Murray obviously gets a nice bump with the return of DeAndre Hopkins in the last couple of weeks. So I said how top five quarterbacks, top five overall. The sixth most productive player overall is Nick Chubb. He's been a monster this year, and he stayed healthy, and he's just been extremely consistent. He's had one, maybe two down games, but he has overperformed in most of his games, and the key is he stayed healthy. He is RB1 as he hits his bye week at 153 points. Derrick Henry is 2, can catch up because he had his bye week earlier. Derrick Henry owners were complaining earlier this season in podcast episodes. You've heard me give them a message about their complaints. And for those that passed on Derrick Henry again this year, I get if you took Jonathan Taylor 1 and that hasn't worked out, but most did. But if you passed on Derrick Henry at 2 or 3 or even 4, you're paying for it again. He is RB2, 21 points behind Chubb with a game in hand. RBs 3 and 4 all hit their byes this week. Barkley and Run CMC now with his new team. Barkley at 129 points. Christian McCaffrey at 123 points. I will just say, McCaffrey being traded to the Niners was something that I thought could happen. And it really hurt me from a fantasy standpoint because the last year and a half, I have been successfully working Niner running backs consistently into my starting lineup, usually rostering two at a time, whoever is the current starter, whoever is the next man up. And with McCaffrey's acquisition, who I did not own, that's all gone. Now, what's interesting is I just picked up Jeff Wilson again this week. I cut him 2 weeks ago. I picked him up this week because he's now got more of an opportunity to play with a former position coach who's now the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. Eckler, off his bye week, is RB5 with a horrible first couple of weeks, still very hot. Then Josh Jacobs. Raiders had just another example of why Josh McDaniels is going to be no different as head coach of the Raiders in his second stint as head coach as he was with the Broncos' first stint. But Jacobs is still RB6 despite the Raiders being shut out a couple of weeks ago or last week. Ramondre Stevenson, 1 week before his bye, 102, sits there. As I guess the biggest surprise of all running backs, Jacobs being RB6 is higher than expected, but Ramondre being up at RB7, basically this year's Cordarrelle at RB7. Aaron Jones off his solid game last week in the latest Packer loss. Aaron Jones putting up RB8 numbers. That may surprise some of you. And it's not very consistent, but it shows that he can still get it done. Williams from Detroit is RB9. Breece Hall, for purposes here, I'm going to remove him from the standings because he's done for the year on injury. Breece Hall would be RB10. but done for the year. And I think with Breece Hall gone, the Jets are done too, just overall as a team. Fournette, we'll call him RB10, removing Breece Hall from the standings going forward. Fournette still heavy workload with the Buccaneers, RB10. Then Dalvin Cook, RB11. Tony Pollard off his huge game with Ezekiel Elliott sitting out a week. Pollard hits his bye as RB12. Khalil Herbert, who's only really gotten a starter's workload in two games, is up to RB13. And I'm as big of a Khalil Herbert fan as anyone. I'm to the point now where I think I'm just going to play him. Even if David Montgomery is the starter, it feels now that Herbert is worth playing. The snap count is enough to get him in the lineup where he's not going to just do a series here or there, as was the case the last year and a quarter behind David Montgomery, even though Montgomery was not traded. Miles Sanders down a little bit, but still RB14. Then Pierce from the Texans, RB15. ATN, RB16 with Jacksonville, and no one touching his workload. That's a very high floor there. Kamara, RB17. Joe Mixon, high workload. I'm a little surprised the Bengals didn't bring in someone else. It feels like Mixon may be done. I mean, and he's coming off such a good year. Maybe he's just playing hurt. It's a bad offensive line. This could be a Najee Harris type thing. I don't want Joe Mixon to be done, but the production just isn't there, even though the volume is. And then you go Walker. Kind of surprising he's only RB19. Granted, he just got healthy a month or so ago, but there's a bullet there. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I mean, this is the stunner, right? Walker and Clyde Edwards-Helaire have the same numbers for the season if you round them, both at 79 points for the season in my 21st century standard scoring settings. And you'd take Walker over CEH right now 100 times out of 100. Let's move to wide receivers, who I isolated for the purpose of this podcast. I'm going to do tight ends separately, and I don't usually do that. But it further proves my point about why you should drop the mandatory tight end. But from a wide receiver standpoint, Diggs, despite already having his bye week, number one at 118. Tyreek Hill, phenomenal volume, 111. Cooper Kupp, 108. Jalen Waddle, still right there. Despite the volume for Tyreek Hill, Waddle's still getting it done. He's wide receiver four at 102. Justin Jefferson, wide receiver five, still top five. It's frustrating when he doesn't score, but the Vikings have other people who score. But Jefferson's volume is still very good, and his floor is still very high. Then you go A.J. Brown at wide receiver six. His bye week's already done. By the way, Jefferson's bye week already done too. Jamar Chase injured. Bengals hope to get him back in few weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, not putting him on the injured list. Chase sits currently at wide receiver seven. Amari Cooper up to wide receiver eight and was not traded. Things have worked out very well for Cooper in Cleveland as the only really consistent pass-catching option for the Browns. Devontae Adams, wide receiver nine. What did I tell you about my Tyler Boyd hedge before the start of the season? If you played it, it worked. He's wide receiver 10. Tyler Boyd, wide receiver 10. Available in the late rounds or on waivers, the first in your fantasy draft or the first month of the season. Mike Evans, wide receiver 11. Feels like worse than that, but he's still a fringe wide receiver 1-2. CeeDee Lamb hits his bye week, wide receiver 12. Christian Kirk, wide receiver 13, but it's trending downward. Brandon Ayuk is ahead of Deebo Samuel. No, I didn't see that coming. Deebo's workload in the backfield is cut into by McCaffrey. But Ayuk, wide receiver 14. Deebo, wide receiver 15, based on total points. T. Higgins. So T. Higgins is 16. So three Bengals in the top 16 of wide receivers. Chase at 7, Boyd at 10, Higgins at 16. Then McLaurin, wide receiver 17, and better for not having Carson Wentz as his quarterback. Mike Williams, currently injured at wide receiver 18. Tyler Lockett, wide receiver 19. He's been a good wide receiver too this year. And Devin Duvernay, wide receiver 2 material. He's at wide receiver 20 in my settings. Quickly, the tight ends. Really, only two true tight ends of significance every week. Kelce with 100 points. That would have him as wide receiver slash tight end 5. Only behind Diggs, Hill, Kupp, and Waddle, by the way. So Kelce's basically a wide receiver 1 playing tight end. Andrews at 80 points. He slipped a bit, but he would be a fringe wide receiver 1. Let's just call him a wide receiver 1/2 playing tight end. Then Taysom Hill, granted, 40% of his points came in one game, but still a nose for the end zone, heavily involved in an odd offense. But Taysom Hill, listed as a tight end and a quarterback in Yahoo leagues. I've used him at least 3 weeks this year. Did I use him 4 weeks? And I had him on his big week. But just to show you how there are no true tight ends out there in fantasy football other than Kelce and Andrews, Taysom Hill's fantasy production is 3rd at the tight end position. Then Hockenson, that could go up with the Irv Smith injury. The Lions trade Hockenson to the Vikings. You like that if you're a Hockenson owner. He's tight end 4, 3 points ahead of Zach Ertz, who's tight end 5. They are basically wide receiver 3/flex play value on a wide receiver tight end comparison. Other than that, I don't really see anyone of significance until further notice. So comparing the running back numbers to the wide receiver numbers is interesting because the running back numbers are higher relative to the wide receiver numbers than previous years. Chubb 153, Diggs 118. So RB1 is 35 points better than wide receiver 1. Granted, Chubb's just hitting his bye week. Diggs already had his bye week. But RB2 is Derrick Henry, 132. So you'd have to go through 6 running backs before you get to Diggs' production in terms of total points. So 6 running backs through 8 weeks have outproduced the number 1 wide receiver. Then you actually rattle off 3 wide receivers in a row before you get to Waddle at 102, Ramondre at 102, and then Kelce at 100. But then there's a pretty big drop-off in the wide receivers because we go, you know, Mike Evans is a fringe wide receiver 1 at 76 points. Same with Tyler Boyd. All of the top 20 running backs have outscored the 10th best wide receivers. So the value of running backs is up this year over previous years relative to wide receiver production. Where in previous years, it was pretty equal that the wide receiver was just as valuable as the running back. Through 8 weeks this year, that is not the case. That could change going forward, but for example, Khalil Herbert, right, who's been a starter for 2 out of 8 weeks. 2 out of 8 weeks. Khalil Herbert if he was a wide receiver tight end would be number 9, only behind Diggs, Hill, Kupp, Waddle, Kelce, Jefferson, Brown, and Jamar Chase. Khalil Herbert. Yeah. Same with Tony Pollard. Yeah. So the running backs have delivered and hold more value this year in fantasy football, if you have the right ones, than the top wide receivers. And that goes against what's been trending the last couple of years. So I think that's significant. And I may have to factor that into some of my decisions going forward in terms of I like my teams in my leagues. I don't love them. I love my foundation team better than my federation team, but the foundation is a 12-team league. The federation is 14 for now, soon to be 10, so I can strengthen my team in the supplemental draft. But I'm factoring that in from a decision standpoint. But yeah, look at those of the top 10 quarterbacks. Look at those names in the back five. Murray, Geno, Mariota, Daniel Jones, Justin Fields. No Justin Herbert. No Tua Tagovailoa. I don't know why that argument came up last week that suddenly, yeah, Tua is better than Justin Herbert. You might want to hold off on that. Especially with Sean Payton potentially getting a hold of Justin Herbert in a couple of months. Just my opinion. But yeah, Murray, Geno, Mariota, Jones, and Fields. Murray, I get. But still, just shows you the value of, I mean, Allen uses his legs. Jackson uses his legs. Really, the only quarterback in there you don't think of as using his legs is Joe Burrow. And he's QB3 at 163 points. Okay, enough from me. Again, email wright.todd@yahoo.com. Thanks for listening to episode 41 of season 7 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll talk to you again soon.